Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. We're also sponsored today by Casper Mattresses. Right now, get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using lunch as your promo code. More on the great folks at Casper a little bit later in the podcast. We should also let folks know Jim is joining us by phone today as he prepares to do some work with CNN International a little bit later in the day. So, Jim, I guess it's appropriate that we're doing our good and bad martini connected to coverage on CNN.
It is. And by the way, for all the listeners, I'm going to be on both CNN International and domestic. So wherever you are in the world, you should be able to see me sometime between 2:30 and 3:30 today.
Oh, fantastic. So you're kind of like good beer, foreign and domestic opportunities to observe Jim today. But let's talk about the good martini, first of all. And this goes back to the Comey hearings last week and one that we actually mentioned in passing on Thursday during our recording of the Three Martini Lunch while the hearings were still going on. And that was Jim Comey leaving a pretty unvarnished opinion of Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general, and why Comey believed that he could not simply refer the Hillary Clinton investigation to the Justice Department, given Lynch's clandestine meeting at the airport with Bill Clinton, and also Lynch's request that he refer in public to the investigation as a matter rather than investigation. And so Dianne Feinstein, one of the top figures on both the Intelligence and the Judiciary Committees, was on CNN State of the Union. Brianna Keeler filling in for Jake Tapper on Sunday. They played the Comey testimony and got Dianne Feinstein to talk about how significant this is. Here's what Dianne Feinstein had to say.
The Attorney General had directed me not to call it an investigation, but instead to call it a matter, which confused me and concerned me. But that was one of the bricks in the load that led me to conclude I have to step away from the department if we're to close this case credibly.
Comey said that Lynch, the request gave him a queasy feeling. He felt it clearly that Loretta Lynch was giving cover to the Clinton campaign. Was she?
I can't answer that. I would have a queasy feeling, too, though, to be candid with you. I think we need to know more about that. And there's only one way to know about it, and that's to have the Judiciary Committee take a look at that.
So pretty vague on the part of Feinstein, but kudos to Keeler for bringing that up in the midst of the avalanche of anti-Trump stuff that was certainly part of the program and the post-Comey testimony coverage. We don't know exactly whether Feinstein thinks anything significant could be happening here, Jim, but the fact she thinks that this is worth further investigation from a leading Democrat is pretty good news.
Yeah, so Dianne Feinstein could very well have kind of hand-waved that away and said, oh, this is all semantics. What does it matter whether we call it an issue or a matter or an investigation? As I said last week, I always thought it was called the Federal Bureau of Investigation for a reason, and they didn't call it the Federal Bureau of Issues or something like that. Look, there's another way to interpret these remarks. They're like, fine, if I have to throw Loretta Lynch under the bus in order to get Trump, I'm willing to do that. And it does kind of offer something that, there's been accusations about people really cherry picking from Comey's testimony. If you think he's a fairly straightforward guy, then this portrayal of Loretta Lynch is not good. And we should be every bit as concerned about the Attorney General of the United States leaning on the FBI director to not let the public know that one of the two candidates for president is under investigation, as we should about any of the allegations surrounding Trump. Now, whether this ever comes to fruition will be, there's a lot of road ahead. My guess is that a lot of Democrats will begin. If it really looks like Loretta Lynch is going to have to face any kind of serious consequence for this, then you'll start seeing Democrats lining up and defending her. But at the very least, it gives them a little bit of good news that Senate Democrats cannot pretend that all was well at the Justice Department when Loretta Lynch was running the show compared to now.
Moving on to the bad martini now, Jim, that's going to have to wait, because as soon as those words came out of Brianna Keeler's mouth and Dianne Feinstein's mouth, Feinstein gave the answer you just heard, but immediately shifted back to the Trump part of the Intelligence Committee investigation. And now she wants the Judiciary Committee to be looking into that as well. The term all hands on deck was used. Here's what she said.
This is a separate investigation
of course,
we're talking about.
Yes.
And I don't think we should mix the two. Right now, this is the total integrity of the President of the United States. This is a very big deal, Brianna. It should be all hands on deck. And everybody should welcome a second committee getting involved, particularly on the technical legal aspects of obstruction of justice.
Quite a nice shift from collusion, since that seems to have been ruled out last week, Jim. And even when Comey said that Trump on a separate occasion suggested that he wanted the investigation to go forward, and if it involved any of his satellites, so be it. It seems like they're still trying to find a scandal here where there seems to be less and less evidence of it.
Yeah, if you see anyone walking around in a neck brace this week, Greg, it's probably because they have whiplash from the sudden shift in the focus of the investigation. Because as of a few weeks ago, the focus was on whether there was some sort of nefarious goings-on at the Trump campaign during the 2016 campaign. And the idea of, we know Russia was attempting to influence the election or attempting to make mischief and influence the outcome. But the question was, did anyone in America have anything to do with that? Was anyone in the Trump campaign making inappropriate contact with the Russian government? Was there collusion? Well, if Trump at no point was under investigation by the FBI at any point between the end of the election and May 9th, is it conceivable he's come under election since then? I suppose it's possible. We have no indication that that's the case. And, you know, it turned out that Comey did, in fact, say this. So to me, I think this, I feel like the Democrats just kind of hand wave their way. Oh, never mind. Emily Littell, a moment. Let's forget about that. Let's focus on this these comments to Comey about Michael Flynn and indicate that that indeed is what the real issue is here. That indeed is what you're like. Now, when you so blithely dismiss what was once your huge concern just a few weeks ago, and all of a sudden you focus entirely on this new comment, which I think most people would look at and say, okay, this is inappropriate. The president's not supposed to say, hey, I want you to take it easy on this guy. But it's a very thin reed to put an entire impeachment argument around. And that, I suspect, is what is really at work here. When you see Feinstein so completely focused, all hands on deck, this is, you know, she's basically, she's like Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. She's ready to order the code red. she's really ready to focus on this. And why are they so focused on this? Because they really, really are upset about 2016 and they want to get Trump out of office. And right now, it's they have the outcome in mind, which is impeachment. And now they're just kind of looking for the reason. And if Russian collusion doesn't turn out, that's fine. Let's move on to obstruction of justice. If that one doesn't pan out enough, I'm sure they'll find something else. The president certainly has no problem getting himself into controversial moments and controversial statements. A lot of things, you know, some of his supporters even wish he would lay off of. But that is, you know, generally not enough sufficient reason to impeach someone. But it appears Democrats want to shift the standard a great deal. You know, trying to cause as many sleepless nights as they can in the White House.
Wow. So they're already on to process allegations, since apparently there's no actual collusion crime or any other crime related to the actual campaign. So they're still going to dig, and all hands on deck means they want the Judiciary Committee to play ball on this as well. All hands on deck can be a good thing, though, Jim, especially when you're talking about the obsessively engineered mattresses at a shockingly fair price over at Casper Mattresses. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers, therefore eliminating commission-driven, inflated prices. Its award-winning sleep service was developed in-house, has a sleek design, and is delivered in a small, how did they do that, sized box. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups, way more than you need to pay. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to the consumer. Let's talk first about quality. An in-house team of engineers spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. Its supportive memory foam offers a sleep service that's got just the right amount of sink and just the right amount of bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night.
And everyone should know that buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery and free returns with a 100-night home trial. I really think you should like this or know whether you like this mattress within like the first two or three nights. But they give you 100 nights to try it out. And if you don't love it, they pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on a mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend one-third of your life on it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they love it. They think they've got the best product. Guess what? Consumers think so, too. With over 20,000 reviews and over 4.8 out of 5 stars, Casper quickly becoming the favorite mattress on the internet. So you've got the convenience, the no risk. You can get your money back. They'll pick it up if you don't like it. You got 100 days to test it. And you've got top-notch quality, plus the great reviews from those who have already tried it. So the offer to listeners, get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/lunch and using lunch as your promo code. Again, casper.com/lunch. All right, Jim, on to the crazy martini now, and let's go to the pages of the Morning Jolt, now in a new format on the National Review online website. So congratulations on that. And the lead item today on Monday, June 12th, is that Democrats and their allies in Wisconsin are pushing to the Supreme Court the idea that partisan redistricting is partisan, maybe not fair to some people, and therefore unconstitutional. Jim, winning elections has consequences. I remember when that was a cool thing about 8 years ago. Now, apparently, winning elections isn't cool if your side doesn't get what it wants. So now Wisconsin Democrats are fighting against partisan redistricting.
Yeah, and in fact, this is going to the Supreme Court. Their argument is that it is now so partisanly gerrymandered that they no longer have the ability, that Democrats, not merely racial minorities or any other efforts, in which you could say this is a concerted effort to suppress the vote or minimize the effect of the vote of certain groups of people, that good old-fashioned trying to draw the lines to maximize the advantage to your party, that is not merely wrong. That's not merely annoying or a bad idea, but that it violates the Constitution. Now, Greg, you and I can't help but notice that this happens just as a lot of states, particularly big Midwestern states, have Republican majorities. And for the first time in a long time, for a second straight cycle or second straight decade after the next census, Republicans appear to be in good position to redraw the district lines. And lo and behold, they tend to draw them so that you get as many of your people with a good 55, 60% margins based on historical preferences, and you put as many of the other side consolidated into one district. Now, one of the facts of modern political life is that Democrats tend to live in big cities, which makes it very easy to draw the partisan line, the district lines. Just draw it around the city, and then you've got something akin to a good 90% Democrat district. And you have these suburbs and the exurbs and the rural areas, which are more heavily Republican, and then the Republicans are able to have a majority of the House seats in a state. This is the way it's been for a very long time. I've linked in the Jolt to the state legislative districts. In places like Illinois, used to be drawn extraordinarily precisely down to the particular street because they knew just how likely everyone was to vote with a particular party. And you know who benefited from that, Greg?
Who?
A gentleman by the name of Barack Hussein Obama, that's who. And he, too, back when Democrats controlled the redistricting process in the state of Illinois, he went into their inner chamber and he looked at the maps and he figured out exactly how to draw the ideal district for himself. And lo and behold, this helped him in his state legislative career. Not that there are that many Republicans in this area of Chicago, but the gist was that he could draw one to encapsulate the large donors and various other little advantages he could have. Now, you don't have to like this. You can gripe about this. You can say this is enormous advantages for incumbent protection and things like that. But I don't think there's anything that you can argue that it violates the Constitution because it's still one man, one vote. And this has been around pretty much since the beginning of the Republic. It does seem rather convenient that just as this system of drawing the district line starts to benefit Republicans, then all of a sudden there's an argument we can't let this go forward. It's also worth noting that they draw these lines at the beginning of a decade. And then what happens over the next 10 years, Greg, is people start to move. Communities grow. Communities shrink. People vote with their feet. And all of a sudden, what started out as being drawn for the ideals of one party, by the end, by year 8, by year 9, by year 10, it can be very different. Or more put another way, ask the Republicans how much the redistricting process helped them in 2006 when they lost control of the House. Or you can ask Democrats how much their benefit and their control of the House benefited after between 2010 and 2012. They picked up a handful of seats. Redistricting is a very convenient excuse for one side losing, but deep down, you want to win some of those districts, go out and recruit better candidates. You want to, tailor your pitch to the people who live there, because as we've seen, in the last couple of midterm elections, you can see giant swings in the electorate. So this is a lot of whining that is very on the losing party that's very familiar to us in politics. What's really annoying is there's a blurring of the line between something that bothers me and the label unconstitutional. Because I know this is going to shock a lot of listeners, but not everything bad in the world violates the Constitution.
Right. I find this fascinating, Jim, because we keep hearing that because of Donald Trump, we're going to have this Democratic avalanche in 2018 that's going to cascade all the way from the House and the Senate to the governor's mansions to the state legislatures. There's just going to be this blue wave that just washes away the Republican majorities in Washington and beyond. Yet this is kind of a tell, it would seem like. The Democrats really don't believe that, because if they did, they would love the fact that they were going to have this huge wave in 2018, and then they could do exactly what they're accusing the Republicans of doing.
It is, and it's kind of this nagging fear here. By the way, there's a lot of road ahead, so we shouldn't completely discount this. I think it's safe to say that the Senate map doesn't look particularly promising for Democrats. But, in some ways you could say, why are Democrats in the position they're in? Well, a lot of their voters who turned out in the presidential election years of 2008 and 2012 did not show up in the midterm election years of 2010 and 2014. And with that, you have a situation in which the Republicans ended up with large majorities in the state legislature, and that's how they end up controlling the redistricting process. So you know how you change this? You get your voters to show up in midterm election years. You get them to pay attention to state legislative races. These things matter. Republicans put a lot of effort into winning state legislative races for the last couple of decades, and lo and behold, they ended up with this enormous advantage to this. An enormous advantage, by the way, that they had to chip away at bit by bit because of the enormous wins that Democrats had in 2008. So there's pretty clearly a pendulum effect in American politics, and I don't think you can say that, one party is winning. The heart of this argument here is that when Democrats win, it's really a legitimate win. But when Republicans win, somehow it's cheating or it's unfair or the playing field is tilted to their advantage or something like that. I'm hoping the Supreme Court justices look at that and kind of scoff at it. But you don't know, Greg, so we're going to have to keep our eyes on this.
Jim, the imagery of this is perfect because I can hear a couple little kids screaming behind you, and this is a perfect metaphor for the Democrats in this process.
The moment you mentioned that the big Democrat wins in 2018 might not happen, I noticed you started screaming, Greg. So I hope you're proud of yourself. You've ruined the dreams of Democratic children everywhere.
My work here is done, and it's only Monday. Jim,
there you go.
Have a great day up there. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And don't forget to visit our friends at Casper Mattresses. That's Casper, CASPER.com/lunch. Get $50 towards any mattress purchase. Remember, the people who buy this love it. It's obsessively engineered. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. 100 nights, free risk trial in your own home. They'll pick it up if you don't love it. So nothing to lose. Great product for you. Casper.com/lunch. Join us again on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.